Hello and welcome to Medieval Murder, the podcast that brings all things gruesome and historical to the comfort of your own home or car or wherever it is you're listening from. My name is Hannah Prettyman and I'm here with my father, Kevin Prettyman.
Hello.
To discuss some of the most famous and infamous murders that took place in the medieval and early modern periods. Medieval Murder came to be first as a blog, then as an Instagram, and now as a podcast after I finished my master's dissertation on homicide in early medieval England. The podcast will feature some of the most famous murders in medieval history, some mini-episode series on different types of medieval murders, and interviews with historians and history enthusiasts alike. Today, we are returning to Egil's Saga in Iceland.
So, yeah, we're going to talk about Egil's Saga, and today it's more going to be Arinborn, as throughout the saga has played a huge role. And today, he's again in it. But before we jump into the medieval stuff, I mean, have you seen there's going to be another volcano in Iceland, it's looking like. Lots of earthquakes, Blue Lagoon shut down.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, the little town of Grindavik, if I'm saying that right, being evacuated. I mean, and I hope nothing happens to that little town. We were there, I don't know, about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful little town, But yeah, the power of the volcano and Mother Nature. I mean, we've seen two or three eruptions in the last couple of years. This one they're saying is going to be like the biggest one yet.
Yeah, the lava is already really coming up towards the crust.
Right.
From what I saw.
Yeah, the first volcano that went off, I was like, man, I should just hop a flight, Iceland Air, get over there, check it out. And now I'm like, really, should I do it? But now we're in November, and while where I'm at, it's beautiful, beautiful, crazy beautiful for this time of year. I'm not sure how nice it would be to be in Iceland in November.
Well, and I also think if this is going to be a bigger volcano eruption, then we're going to not want to be there. You could end up trapped there, because remember that big ash cloud that shut down the airport?
Right. I was thinking that too. I was like, well, depending on how big this bad boy is, I mean, you may get there and not get back, or you may not be able to get there. So we'll see. And, you know, hopefully all the people in Iceland are safe. I mean, you know, in thinking about it, they deal with this all the time, the earthquakes. And living in that environment. But so hopefully everyone makes it through unscathed, and you know, no property's lost, and it's an event that's something similar to what we've seen, you know, that was a kind of an awe-inspiring moment. And hopefully this one doesn't have any human repercussions.
Yeah.
So anyway, with that, let's jump into Egil and Arinborn.
Number eight.
You know, we're winding down. I mean, Egil is getting older.
So Egil's winding down, too.
Yeah, the whole saga is going to be winding down the next couple of episodes of Egil. Spoiler alert. So, but, you know, for new listeners, or just to update the old listeners on Egil, you know, a quick refresh for us. You know, when last we left Egil, he had just returned from a journey that saw him go to Scotland, England, and Norway. And during this journey, he again ran across and afoul of King Eric the Blood Axe and Queen Gunhild.
I mean, he has some beef with them, understandably. They do not like him.
Yeah, they don't like him. He's got beef with them. I mean, they've got beef with him. He's kind of taken it to the next level with them. He managed to kind of get out of all of that because of his good friend Arinborn. You know, while he was in England, he did reunite with King Athelstan. where he had made a great friendship with him.
And Athelstan is in England, correct?
Athelstan is in England, you know. And on that last trip, he had, what he was trying to do was go back to Norway and secure his wife Asgard's inheritance. And he thought it was going to be easy sailing, because now one of the reasons that the Blood Axe Eric was in England and kind of working for Athelstan was his brother Hakam had come back to Norway and kind of taken the throne. They were sharing the throne, but Eric kind of realized that, you know, he didn't have as many numbers and his brother may run him out. So he went to England, went into the service of Athelstan, and but Egil saw an opportunity to secure his wife's inheritance, where because Hakam had been fostered by Athelstan. And so he's got a lot of goodwill with Athelstan. He's thinking Hakam's going to help him out, you know, when he goes, right?
Yeah.
But as we saw, I mean, you know, Egil meets with Athelstan, goes, and Hakam is not, like, super excited about Egil. And Egil kind of twists some people's words when he's there, and he is able to secure Asgard's inheritance. But King Hakam has made it clear that Egil should not be in Iceland.
Mm.
Or not be, I'm sorry, not be in Iceland, but not be in Norway. So where we kind of left it is, he's run afoul of Eric. Hakam doesn't like him. Arjaborn's still the man, or Aranborn is still helping him out. And Athelstan is still friends. So now he goes back to Iceland, and he's reunited with Asgard and his children, Thorgar, Bera, Bolvar, Gunnar, and Thorstein. And he kind of enters into a period of just landowner mode.
You know, Eagle does.
Yeah, he's just managing the farm. He's just chilling, managing the farm. You know, from what the saga says, he seems to get along with most of the people in Iceland. You know,
I think they appreciate him for, you know.
Right. I think it's his place to go and not have these blood feuds going on.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and after his dad died, did he kind of become in charge of everything, or was that, did I just
right,
assume?
Yeah, when his dad died, he took over, you know, all his dad's land holdings, you know, his dad, he hit a lot of his fortune, you know, before death, which I thought was interesting, because he knew he was dying, he wrote out and he buried it,
you know. I mean, fair, kind of.
Yep. Yeah, it should also be mentioned that when, on that, the trip we were talking about that he had just returned from, he had killed a man named Lot the Pale, and he was a berserker.
Yeah.
And he entered into a duel with him, kind of on behalf of Aranborn's nephew, Frigir. And it was all over. Lot was a despicable man, and he wanted Frigir's sister hand in marriage, and his sister didn't want to marry him. But he wasn't a guy that was like a really good dueler, and Egil stepped in and killed Lot the Berserker.
Is this the guy that he basically just like chopped in half?
He chopped his leg off and the guy bled to death instantaneously.
Okay.
And then Egil was flipping the cow over the shoulder for celebration and slaughter.
Yes.
But, you know, and he gave, as by custom, he took over Lot's inheritance, more or less. Any of Lot's possessions. And Egil had kind of passed what he had immediately on to Frigir, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he did this out of, you know, respect for Aranborn, you know, because he owes Aranborn a lot at this point.
Yeah.
But then Hakam's agents, the king's agents, sees a lot of it. And then, obviously, now Egil's back in Iceland, and that's kind of set up what happens in today's story.
Okay.
I think I've got us all confused, but we'll try and work through it. Bear
So
with us.
basically, he's now returned to Iceland. He's chilling with his wife and children, and he's just kind of he's
He's
farming, and he's.
running the farm.
So how long do we think he's there before this next part happens?
It was a few years, so maybe 3, 4 years. I'm
Okay.
not sure. In my notes, I've got several,
All right.
and then I've also seen a few. So
So it
difference
could be
between,
anything.
right? So he's there for a bit.
Okay. How old do we think he is right now?
Oh, I have no idea.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Forties, maybe?
We might be able to. Our next episode, I'm gonna try and narrow down his age because
Okay.
we've got some markers here, maybe that we can. If I could do some math, we might be able to figure out because we have some really. I mean, to me, and I hope to us, Egil is a historic figure, but we
Yeah.
do have. We're gonna find out in a minute. A really well-known historic figure dies.
Okay. All right.
And so that'll get, if we did the math, we can maybe figure out how old Eagle is at this point. So anyway, so he's in Iceland. He's kind of running the farm and doing his thing, getting along with people, which is hard to believe. And then, but Eagle gets word of the death of Eric the Blood Axe. And Eric was killed in a by Vikings in a raid in I believe he was in charge of Northumbria,
So
right?
wait, which one is Eric the Blood Axe?
Eric the Blood Axe is married to Gunhild, and he's the one that Egil basically has all the bad blood with.
Oh, okay. King of Norway.
Well, King of Norway, but his brother ran him out
And then
basically.
he ended up in England. Okay.
Then he ended up with Athelstan. So he hears that Eric gets killed in a Viking raid, which is ironic,
It is a
because at
little.
one point he was king of Norway.
Yeah.
Right? But so he gets killed. He hears about this, right? But at the time after Eric's death, Gunhild takes her sons and goes to Denmark, right?
Okay.
Also, about this time, Athelstan dies. Now
Wow.
he's the historic figure that I was talking about.
And how
So
does
now
he die? Do we know?
we don't know. I mean, it's not, I guess it wasn't pertinent to the saga, but I'm sure we could find
Find
out.
out. Okay.
Because I imagine that's pretty well documented.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And Edmund takes over as King of England at this time.
His okay, and Edmund is Athelstan's brother.
Right,
Okay.
correct. And so Egil, it always says in the saga when something happens and Egil gets word, he grows restless of hanging out at the farm and he has to make a voyage. So he heads back to Norway, right? But when last he left Norway, Haakon didn't want him there at all.
Yeah, he had been like banned from Norway.
Correct. So, and I don't know how he does, and when. The last we knew, Aragorn was still with Eric the Blood Axe, even after interceding on Egil's behalf.
So did Aragorn have to leave and go back? Like, did he also leave with Gunhild and go back to Norway?
Well, Gunhild went to Denmark.
Oh, okay.
And
Yeah.
then what we're going to find is when. And I don't know how they do this. This is like pre-cell phones. I mean, this is almost like when I was a kid, because like you'd meet with friends and you'd have a specific time and place to meet. And if someone didn't show up, you had like 15 minutes, half an hour, and then you moved on because they're not going to tell you they're coming or not. So
Yeah.
this is what's amazing to me about some of these sagas, or what you see in the sagas is. In the saga, the last we knew, Aragorn was in Northumbria with Eric. When Egil shows up in Norway. Ta-da! He finds Aragorn.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, so he finds Aragorn, and Aragorn's excited to see Egil, and he invites him to stay with him. And you know, Egil gives Aragorn this really ornate longboat sail as a token of his friendship.
That he just had on him, even though he didn't know Aragorn was going to be there.
Well, I'm sure he knew where Aragorn was. I just don't know how he knows all this
Oh,
stuff,
okay.
you know.
Yeah.
And so he gives Aragorn this token of friendship. Aragorn says, "Come stay with us." He's happy to see him, you know. And so he does. And so he's staying there. He's wintering there. And during the Yuletide feast, Aragorn presents Egil with traditional gifts, a silk gown cut to Egil's size, and he's a big dude, remember, with very ornate gold embroidery and gold buttons all the way down, and a set of clothes cut from fine English cloth in many colors,
All
right?
right.
But the type of guy that Aragorn is anybody who's coming to his Yuletide feast or visiting, he gives them presents.
Okay.
Right. And so, you know, Egil, you know, we really talk about Egil being a warrior and a berserker, but he's also a poet. If you remember, he starts out as being a poet. So after this, Egil spoke this verse, and it's from kindness alone that nobleman gave the poet a silk gown with gold buttons. I will never have a better friend. Selfless Aragorn has earned the stature of a king or more. A long time will pass before his like is born again.
Big compliments.
No, it is. And I mean, but you know, if we've been paying attention, you know, I believe in one of the episodes we talked about Aragorn being like a huge diplomat, you
Yeah,
know,
yeah.
and able to go between different things.
So maybe Aragorn should be the new king of Norway.
Well, you know, sometimes people that should be in certain positions aren't.
Yeah.
We'll find out through life. So anyway, so after the feast season had passed, Egil starts to get a little withdrawn, almost depressed.
Is he missing his family, or has he
Well,
just not killed anybody in a while?
so Aragorn gets, well, I don't know. Aragorn gets concerned. He goes to Egil and says, "Hey, are you sick, or is there something else going on?" You know, because he's concerned about his friend. And Egil said, told him he wanted to go see King Haakon and ask him for what was rightfully his. And what he's seeking now is what should be rightfully his from when he killed Lot the Berserker that the
Oh,
king's
he
agents
did.
had sent.
So he didn't
Yeah.
get any of that when he killed him.
Right, so when I'm reading the saga and Egil grows restless, I'm thinking to myself, what is he about? And a couple of pages in, I find out, yeah, he's on the trail of more wealth.
Yeah.
So Aragorn, you know, he knows that that Egil killed Lot kind of out of respect for Aragorn
Yeah.
to help out his nephew. So Aragorn tells him it's easy to see the king, but it's not always easy to return from seeing the king.
Fair.
And he also told him, he said, "I am not eager to see the king about this." Okay?
Well,
And
because Eagle's not even supposed to be there, right? So
right. Yeah, Haakon doesn't like him.
Aragorn's like, I don't want him to know that you've been wintering here.
Right. So they talk about it, and the Aragorn tells him, I don't see that there's much chance of reconciling your temper and your rashness with the king's disposition of severity, because I don't think he is a friend of yours or has any reason to be." So what he's telling him is like, up to this point, Egil, you've been nothing but a pain in his ass,
Yeah.
you know, and it sounds like they have personalities that really clash.
Yeah.
And he said, "I prefer that we drop the matter and don't talk about it anymore. Let's
Fair.
just hang out."
Yeah, he's like, you have enough wealth. You're good.
Right. But he also tells him, if you really want me to go, I will. And so Aegle really wants him to go. And Aegle says, and Aragorn tells him, you know what? The only way this is going to work is if I go by myself with my guys. I don't, you know, you have no business there.
Yeah.
And he knows it would probably end badly. Right. So he tells him he'll go on his behalf and plead Eagle's case to Hackham.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, so he goes and he takes some guys with him. You always got to travel with your with entourage. Right. So Aragorn is greeted warmly by Hackham. It's good to see him. You know, he's happy. And then Aragorn tells him that Aegle is in Norway seeking to lay claims to which was Lot the Pale. And he tells him, I've been told that the law is in Aegle's favor. But your agents have taken the money and claimed it in your name. I beseech you to grant Aegle justice. How do you think it's going to go?
Yeah.
Pause for dramatic effect. So after a long pause, the king replied, I do not know why you are presenting such a claim on Egil's behalf. He came to see me once, and I told him I did not want him staying in this country for reasons that you are well aware of. Aegle has no need to make a claim to me as he did to my brother Eric. I will tell you one thing, Aragorn. You may stay in this country on a condition that you do not value foreigners more highly than myself or my words. I know your loyalty lies with your foster son, my nephew, Harald Ericsson. So it's going to be Eric the Blood Axe's son.
Okay.
And Harald right now is in Denmark. And then the king tells him, the best course would be for you to go abroad and stay with him and his brothers. Because I have a strong suspicion that men like you will prove unreliable if a confrontation arises between me and Eric's sons. So Hakam's already kind of paranoid about his role on the throne. He's thinking his nephews are coming to take over.
Yeah.
And he's worried that Aragorn is going to be of more service to those guys
than of him.
To Eric's sons than to him. Right? So, Aragorn returns and tells Aegle of the king's reaction. And he said, I will not be in the king's favor in such matters ever again.
Yeah.
So, Aegle's very sullen at this point. He's lost a lot of money. A few days later, Aragorn calls Aegle to see him and presents him with a trunk containing 40 marks of silver. Says, I'm paying you this money for the lands owned by Lot the Pale. It seems fair to me to let you have this reward from my kinsman, Frigyrd, and myself for saving his life from Lot. I know you did this as a favor to me, and it is my duty to make sure you are not deprived of what is yours by law.
So Aragorn's really a good dude.
Yeah, he is. He's a righteous dude, man. But no, he really is a good friend. I mean, he really sees things in kind of a diplomatic way.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that we've heard about Aragorn in a fight. He's always around, and I'm sure he gets involved in raiding and stuff like that, but you never hear about like any blood with Aragorn.
Yeah, no, he doesn't really have a lot of grudges, I don't think.
Right. Even the people that, like, Eric was mad at him, and now Hakam's mad at him, but they still...
They're not going to try to kill him or kick him out.
They still respect him.
Yeah.
Well, they kind of kick him out, I think, you know.
Yeah, so, but not in, like, a way that they're like, you can never come home.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So, Aegle spends the winter with Aragorn, and in the spring, Aragorn comes and says, I'm going raiding. So Aegle joined him at the helm of one of his ships, bringing many of the men he had brought with him from Iceland. They headed south to Saxony, where they raided during the summer in one great wealth. And in the autumn, they went north on more raids and moored their ships off Frisia. So this got me thinking. Okay, so they go down to Saxony, which is probably the German area, right? So they go down there and they do their raiding. They win great wealth, but they must have like a whole system because I don't see them dragging that to the next place they raid.
I don't
I
know if their
mean,
boats are big enough, depending on what they have.
right. But I'm wondering if there's like a transport section that like will take some of the stuff, some of the guys take it back and then meet up later.
I could see it, yeah.
You know? So anyway,
Or maybe
just
if
a
some guys are wounded or whatever, they all get taken home
oh,
with the.
and take the stuff.
Yeah.
That would make sense. So in the autumn, they went north on more raids and moored their ships off of Frisia. Right? So they're there and they moor their ships, they're gonna do some more raiding, and as they went inland, they found several villages. And as they approached the villages, all those that could flee did. So they sacked two, three, four villages with very little resistance. And like Frisia is basically farmers, right? And it's got kind of flat plains with the fields, and the fields have, you know, like what we probably call irrigation ditches, but ditches around them with the water in them. And then they've got bridges across. And the bridges are made out of like timber and planks and whatnot, right? So they get like drawn further inland because they're finding more villages.
So they're just trying to
So,
sack as many as possible. They get a little ahead of themselves.
right. Well, and what happens is they get inland and they run into 300 Frisians. The Frisians have all retreated, but what they were actually doing was rallying people to confront the Vikings.
So how many guys do we think the Vikings have? Maybe 80?
No, I'm thinking they've got a couple hundred. I'm thinking just reading like how many guys that were going with Aragorn, and then Egil brought guys, you know. So this great battle ensues with the Frisians, right? And so they're killing a lot of the Frisians. So the Frisians they start to run away, but they kind of break into small groups, and one group's going one way, one group's going the other way. So the Vikings, they too break into groups and give pursuit. So Egil and some of his guys are chasing a band of Frisians, and Egil's with about 30 of his guys, and they're chasing these Frisians, and they get to one of these irrigation ditch things, and the Frisians got to the other side and
Pulled the bridge.
pulled the bridge. So Egil, being a really big dude, he's able to jump over the ditch and he gets on the other side. Well, his guys can't make it over. So now it's Egil on the other side, and he gets confronted by, in the saga, 11 guys.
It's Eggle against 11.
It's Egil against 11. And now we don't have a lot of details about it. I can only imagine the ensuing fight, right? But at the end of it, 11 Frisians are dead, and Egil's good to go.
Eggle's just over here, like, yeah, did it.
Right. So I mean, for our podcast, it would be nice to have all the details.
It
But
would.
so anyway, he ends up killing 11 of them, right? And then he pulls the bridge back and puts the bridge back where it needs to be. He goes across. His guys are gone.
Oh, they abandoned him?
They abandon him, which we don't talk about in the saga about what he does when he finds out they've abandoned him. Well, what he does is he starts making his way back to the boats, right? And so there's Frisians in the woods and stuff. So he's kind of.
Did they just assume he had died? They're like, he can't do it, like it's over.
But maybe that's what they thought,
I mean,
you know.
you would think that they would have like bows and arrows that they could have been shooting across the ditch, like they just.
Yeah, but who knows, like how, I mean, maybe he jumped across the ditch and went running down a trail and they couldn't see him anymore.
Oh, that could be. That could
Right.
be.
And
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it wasn't like taking place right across from where he crossed.
Okay. Well, and yeah, and maybe, killing 11 dudes probably takes a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they did kind of leave him hanging.
Yeah.
So he's making his way back to the boats, and he's kind of skirting bands of Frisians. And when he gets to the beach, there is most or all of the Vikings have already made it back to the boats with the plunder.
Okay.
And there's a big band of Frisians. There's something going on down there, and he's got to get through the Frisians to the boats.
Okay.
So he throws his shield on his back, takes his halberd, which I think is like a big kind of spear axe thing, and he just swings that and runs through all the Frisians and makes it back to the boats. Now, I don't know if he killed anybody, but I'm sure there's some violence that ensued there,
Yeah.
right? So he makes it back, and they start sailing back to Denmark, right? So they sail for Denmark, and then at a certain point, Aragorn says, "You know what? I am going to go and hang out with King Eric's sons, right?
Yeah.
Eric the Blood Axe. So Gunhild's going to be there." And he said, "You know, I think, those of you who want to go to Norway, go to Norway. And I'm going to go to Denmark,
Yeah.
whatever you want to do." Because he's been told, really, kind of by Haakon, that he's not welcome in Norway
Yeah.
anymore, right?
Yeah.
So Egil says he's going to go to Norway. And so the guys that want to go back to Norway go with Egil. And the guys that want to go to Denmark go with Denmark. At this time, Eric's sons have, like, they've got some armies,
Okay.
and they do a lot of raiding out of Denmark too. So Aragorn's going to go join them and raid and do whatnot,
Okay.
get up to some mischief. But as they part, he tells Egil, "You should go, once you get to Norway,
Iceland.
you should probably go home."
Yeah.
So they part ways at that point. And that's where we're going to kind of leave the story today. But, we've kind of talked about Aragorn throughout the story. And I mean, Aragorn started as a friend of Egil's brother, Thorwulf. And, the friendship, he came over to Aragorn. And I mean, Aragorn's really got Egil out of a lot of stuff, with Eric. He's pled a lot of cases to different people over time,
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see that kind of in the end, his support for Egil pretty much ran him out of Norway.
Yeah. Egil is really at the center of a lot of issues.
We all have that one friend that's a good friend, but sometimes it's hard to be their friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we've got some more Egil coming up. We're gonna find out what happens to him in Norway. Does it how it goes in Norway? Does he make it back to Iceland? But like I said, Egil is starting to wind down. If listeners have any other sagas they'd like to explore, we might be able to do that. Let us know.
Yeah.
And then again, keep an eye on the
Yeah.
volcano in Iceland. See what's happening there if you're interested. If you YouTube, sometimes there's live streams of it. It's awesome. I mean, it is awesome to watch. I mean, I like to put it on before I go to bed. It's really kind of it's spectacular. But like I said, I hope everybody's safe.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening to Medieval Murder. If you have any listener questions, comments, or topic suggestions, please feel free to reach out via our Instagram account at Medieval Murder or via email at info.medievalmurder@gmail.com. Also, check out our merch available on our website, medievalmurder.org. Tune in later for our next podcast.